You're listening to G Live, a board game podcast hosted by Gaming Library. We are your hosts. My name is Leo.
Hi, I'm Glory.
And this is the month of November's episode. And hopefully you guys are good since we last checked in. Glory, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've been out of the country. I was in the US for 2 weeks. And that's why medyo may delay sa release of our podcast. Sorry about that. How about you?
I am good as well. Been busy, working a lot. And this is going to be evident in the stuff that we're going to be talking about today in this episode of G Live. Let's go on ahead and talk about some news, some stuff that's already been happening for Gaming Library and stuff that's incoming as we speak. Let's get it on.
Okay, so first of all, if you guys don't know yet, there is a bargain bin in the Gaming Library website. So basically, the bargain bin are selected games that are on sale and it's up to 40% off. Yes. And wala siyang time limit. Hindi siya like the great big sale. It's until forever.
It's just there until it runs out.
Yep. Yep. So until stocks last. So I have already purchased my bargain bin game. So I hope you guys are taking advantage of that sale from Gaming Library.
There's a few good stuff there as well that I have been eyeing out. Some examples are like some boxes of Keyforge and some packs and starters for Destiny. So Star Wars Destiny. The Rise of Skywalker is coming up, so you know we're all hyped for that. So how better than to like, you know, celebrate with Star Wars Destiny?
Ako naman hinihintay ko yung Heaven and Ale mag-increase ng discount.
Because it's already there and it might just bump up.
It's 20% off, but like I just want a bit more discount.
Maybe 25, maybe 30.
25, 30.
So that's what's cool about the bargain bin, right? Yeah. You never know, and as long as it's there, it's going to last.
And they actually have been adding stuff, so just watch out, you guys. Next is King Domino Philippines. So this was also announced around last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we now have a King Domino Philippine edition. So what's different about this is the meeples. They are Philippine-inspired artwork. So the artwork of King Domino Philippines was actually made by our very own Luke from Gaming Library. Woo! Yes. Congratulations! And it will be available for pre-order at a discounted price of $9.99 until the end of October.
Yep. So if you're listening to this, it's possible that you may have missed it. But if you did get in on it, you saved a lot of money. And of course, you have secured yourself your copy of 2018's Game of the Year in our very own, you know, in our own very own flavor.
I actually pre-ordered it kahit may Queen Domino na ako.
No, this is going to be different, right?
Yeah,
It's the Philippine edition. So.
And, you know, the Queen Domino kasi medyo convoluted na siya for me. So I was really interested, especially now since it's Philippine edition. Support your own.
Yep. So Philippine edition, King Domino, XL edition when? Ooh. Is that foreboding? Is that like foreshadowing?
Let's see.
We'll see.
Okay, and another announcement is that we are coming out. Well, if you guys don't know yet, we actually stream our gameplay every Tuesday night here at the Gaming Library headquarters. Mm-hmm. We show this via Facebook Live. And you can also see them, watch them in our YouTube. And now, meron na naman tayong bagong content.
Yep, we're churning out new kinds of content for you guys, for you to be able to enjoy, you know, some board gaming goodness whenever you can, wherever you can, how you can.
Yep. So here, this new content is another G Live production, and it's basically, the title is 5 in 5. So we want to be able to talk about games very quickly, so 5 minutes, just 5 minutes of your time. And we have a specific theme per episode. So for the first episode, since, you know, malapit na mag-Halloween, it's 5 horror games in 5 minutes.
Yep. So we tell you guys all about some hand-picked games that we believe are essentials in that genre or with that theme. So in 5 minutes, you essentially have heard about or have an idea of what you can play this Halloween.
Yep. Yep.
Well, that's pretty cool. Once again, 5 and 5 coming to our YouTube channel very, very soon. But up next as well, I think this is happening the weekend after this recording, very specifically, is a Splendor tournament that we're organizing. Years after its release, people still love Splendor. And of course, now we want to hit that that spot. You know, we want to be able to give you guys what you want, and we are going to be organizing a Splendor tournament. Just check out our website for the details, and of course our Facebook page for pictures. We want to show you guys what you missed in case you weren't able to go, and if you want to have another one, do let us know. I think this one's happening in Alter Ego.
Yep.
And if ever you want one in BGC and this one goes well, we'll be able to do that as well. So once again, check out the website, www.gaminglibe.com.
I remember you guys used to do this in Dice and Dine.
Yeah, back then. That was...
2015?
Yeah, and they were very big.
Yep.
I remember because bago pa lang yung Splendor noon. Mm-hmm. And even then, people have figured out the game. But now, years later, as I said, we still like it. We still love it. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an episode ago where we talked about alternatives to Splendor. Mm-hmm. But you know, you can't beat
Splendor.
You can't beat the good stuff. So with that out of the way, we also want to remind you guys that for Keyforge, Worlds Collide is coming. And it's coming very, very fast. With that being said, we want to remind you guys that the street date is not yet confirmed, but it's coming, and you can expect it within either the first or second week of November. If not then, maybe sooner. As well, the math trade is still up on the Keyforge Philippines Facebook group. If you want to trade your deck out for something else that you might be looking for, something specific, put it into the system. We'll be keeping the tab open, and you know, this is a free way, a good way for you to be able to cycle your decks and meet something new, like, you know, something that you have never seen before, and you might fall in love with the deck you get.
Mm-hmm.
Ikaw may decks ka ba na pwede mo i-trade?
We'll see. Well, I only have 6 decks.
Wow. You say only? Oh, a lot of people have like 6 in the system already.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's a lot of decks on the math trade.
Like
so,
you.
Let's not talk about how many, right? Let's talk about how many. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that is our little bit on the news and announcements from Gaming Library. Up next, I think we are going to be hearing from one of our contributors.
Yep.
Hey there. This is Tonichi from Tabletop To Go with a Tension on the Table segment. Good games have tension, and this week we take a closer look at Acquire. First published in 1964, Acquire is the brainchild of Sid Sackson, a prolific designer considered a titan in modern board game design, also credited with such classics as Can't Stop, Bazaar, and I'm the Boss. Our 1968 copy of Acquire is subtitled Adventures in High Finance, and at first glance, the drab components, a grid with columns 1 to 12 and rows A to J, tiles that correspond to each cylinder grid, pieces that name hotels, stock certificate cards, and some money, will make one question, adventures in high finance? How does that even work? But make no mistake, the game delivers on this promise despite the said components. In Acquire, 2 to 6 players lay down tiles to build hotels and buy stocks of hotels. The more tiles making up a hotel, the more valuable and more expensive to buy its stocks become. When a tile is played in between 2 or more hotels, a merger happens and majority stockholders gain a cash bonus, plus the opportunity to convert their stocks into the new hotels, sell for cash, or hold in the hopes of re-establishing the hotel later in the game. Where does the tension lie? First, players can place only one tile per turn, and only at the start of their turn. If they place it in an existing hotel, it bumps up its value. But if they place it elsewhere, they can invest in that hotel while it is still cheap to gain the majority stockholder status for a later merger. Or maybe they should start a new hotel. One decision, many implications. Second, is when to trigger mergers. Often players find themselves in possession of a tile that can trigger a merger. But when should they trigger the merger? Common sense dictates that they should invest in a hotel before triggering the merger. But what if, in delaying it, someone makes the hotel large enough that it cannot be merged? Third, players can purchase only 3 stocks per turn. Do they invest in hotels that they might be able to merge later on, or in other hotels? spread evenly, or invest heavy. It is the combination of these sources of anguish, as we like to call it, that we enjoy acquire to this day, despite it being a design from over 50 years ago. One simple action has layers upon layers of implications that may or may not turn out as planned, and it is oh so delicious for it. At the end of the game, the player with the most valuable portfolio and most cash wins. The game plays in about 90 minutes, but experienced groups can get a game in 60. It retails for 2,500 pesos in Gaming Library and in other online stores. On a scale of 5 to 1, 5 being buy at MSRP or higher, and 1 being buy at deep discount, Tabletop to Go rates this a 3. Buy at MSRP when there's a budget, when there's no rush. It is a classic that deserves to be in any collection, be it for light and family gamers to hardcore gamers, and it will surely bring your table to adventures in high finance. This has been Tonichi from Tabletop to Go. You can find more of our tabletop exploits by following at Tabletop to Go on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Goodbye!
Hi all, Sam here, one of your friendly neighborhood GL curators. Today, I'll be talking about one of my hidden gem games. It's Hivemind, designed by Richard Garfield, published by Calliope Games and released in 2016. It plays from 3 to 12 players and lasts around 30 to 90 minutes, depending on player count. Hivemind is played on a board with an illustration of a hive with 6 floors on the left side and a movement track on the right. Players will place their meeples on the top floor of the hive, and a queen meeple is placed on the movement track. The aim of the game is to not get kicked out of the hive. Each turn, the active player draws a random card. Each card has 3 questions printed on each side. The active player reads out one of these questions, and people will write down their answers on a piece of paper. Once everyone is done, people will read out their answers, scoring 1 automatic point for their own answer, and 1 additional point for each person with the same answer. Once each player has totaled their score, some players will move up or down the hive, depending on the whims of the queen bee. You remember I mentioned a movement track? Well, before drawing a question card, the active player rolls a die and moves the queen bee along that track. The space where the queen bee stops will give the scoring rules for the round. It'll be something like lowest score moves down or 2 highest scores move up. You'll note that it mentions highest score or lowest score. So if 2 people both score the lowest points and it's the lowest score moves down, both players will have to move their meeples 1 level down the hive towards the exit. The game ends when someone is kicked out of the hive. Everyone still inside the hive wins. Hivemind is a simple party game that can generate lots of laughs and can help the players get to know each other better. It's a play on Family Feud, and the goal isn't to give the right answer, it's to give the popular answer. So if the question is, what are 4 things a wizard might wear, you're gonna have to consider the other players and decide if they're more familiar with contemporary fantasy like Harry Potter, or maybe high fantasy like Lord of the Rings. There are around 300 question cards, and as many times as I've played this game, I don't think I've run through all the available cards yet. The questions are also pretty generic, which I think is a good thing. Nothing too culturally specific, like name your top 3 Beatles songs. And with 6 questions per card, the active player can pick the question that's most relatable for the group. However, as much fun as this game is, it does have some downsides. One being the queen's movement track. It's possible for the game to run a bit long because the queen keeps landing on spaces that move people up rather than down. Another downside might be that people can give unexpected answers and you'll just have to house rule it. As an example, the question might be, what are 3 animals found in the ocean? And someone might answer fish, octopus, dolphin, but another person might answer tuna, anglerfish, and shark. You'll just have to decide how scoring that would go. Overall, with the various groups I've played this with, we've always had great fun. It's a good opener, especially if the people playing don't know each other that well yet. There are moments that'll have people yelling in disbelief and moments of triumphant high fives. It's fun, easy, and a perfect opening for game night. I encourage you to give it a try. Again, that's Hivemind, published by Calliope Games. That's it for now. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Jericho here with another board game review for you. This time, it's a 2019 Spiel des Jahres Award winner, Just One by Repos Production. Just One is a cooperative party game where players are trying to discover words with their unique and thought-out clues. The catch is that if the clues are not unique, they are cancelled. It's for 3 to 7 players. A game can run for just 15 minutes. It only costs 1,400 pesos. In this game, you take 13 cards from the deck. One player, who is the active player, will be doing the guessing. That player draws a card from the 13-card stack without looking at it. The player places their card in their easel and chooses a number from 1 to 5. Each number has a corresponding word on the card. Based on the number chosen, the other players, without communicating to each other, will now have to write a one-word clue in their easels. When clues are ready, the player guessing the card will close his eyes and the other players compare clues. Now, if two or more players have the same identical clue, they will flip their easel down, removing their clues for that round. I'll give you an example. If the word to be guessed is Shakespeare, two or more players might write the word Romeo. If that happens, then the clue Romeo will not be used as a clue and can't be seen by the active player. When all identical clues are removed, the active player opens their eyes and looks at the remaining clues. Based on the clues, he or she must give a word pertaining to those clues. If correct, the group gets 1 point. If the guess is wrong, the group loses 2 points. They lose the current card in that round and the top card in the deck, further decreasing the opportunity for a high score. Limitations to the clues are as follows. Clues must be one-word clues. Clues can't be a direct translation of the clue into a different language, but foreign words are allowed. Acronyms are allowed, such as NBA and CIA. Clues can't be a made-up word. The clue cannot be phonetically identical to the word being guessed. And lastly, clues can't be of the same family, such as actor and actress. And that's how you play. Now let's go into my review. So we're always asked to identify superpowers, and one superpower for Just One is that it removes all the pressure from the word guessing games like Taboo or Codenames. Given that it's no longer in the competitive spirit, players are more at ease whether they're giving a clue or guessing. And if the clue givers cancel each other out or give clues that are too vague, the word guesser doesn't have that much guilt, when they're thinking of a clue. A timer is also not part of this game, so totally no pressure when playing this game, just pure fun. Another superpower is that it makes the experience of clue giving much more fun. In Codenames and Taboo, the importance of the clues is given to one player only, so it's immensely more tense compared to a group of players that's already laughing, thinking of their next clue. Since the clue-giving task is shared, some players were enticed to find their own way of communicating. In my experience, I've had players who have used very creative words such as clues for the game. Some that stand out to me are the words pits when we're guessing the word peach. Another is when we're trying to guess the word Jedi, one player wrote Jedi as in Judy Ann Santos. So it's such an amazing game on how it makes a word game so fun. Any weaknesses? Like any game that uses whiteboard markers, they're gonna run out. One of my markers have already run out, so I had to get a replacement. Just, it's a bit of a small weakness. Another weakness is that some words are just so foreign in terms of their use that there's a really limited number of clues to use. So in my experience, words like paradise and oasis are hard to give clues for. These are small negatives that can hardly ruin the entirety of the game. I've learned that word games are not for everyone's cup of tea, so maybe for Filipinos, a game about English words might be daunting. But I've played with a few who've said that they don't like these kinds of games, but still enjoyed. So in the 5-4-3-2-1 scale, it's a 5. If I lose my copy now, I will find a way to get it. That's how much I love this game. I've had so much fun in just the process of playing the game, So much so, I haven't even played the game for points. All my games have been about the guessing, the clue making, this discussion of why did you write that clue, all without counting points. I've had one game where the guesser couldn't guess the word gladiator because one of the clues is a chariot. Apparently, charioteers ride chariots, not gladiators who are fighters. All this just from a word guessing game. Is it worth it? Absolutely. The game has replaced a previous Spiel des Jahres award winner, which is also a deduction word game, and that was Codenames. I can see why Just One won the award also. So get the game! The white box version is currently available at Gaming Library. Go get your copy before it runs out again. This has been Jericho. See you guys next time.
Hi everyone, I'm Benj, one of the creators for Gaming Live. Today, I will be giving my first impressions on Tapestry, designed by Jamie Stegmeier and published by Stonemeyer Games. Tapestry is easily one of the most anticipated releases of 2019, with the first printing of 25,000 already selling out upon release. I have been lucky enough to have friends who were among the first people to receive their copies, so I already have around 6 to 7 plays of Tapestry under my belt. Tapestry simulates the development of civilization in its capital through 5 ages and has elements inspired by Mombasa, Russian railroads, and Feast for Odin. Actually, it's Jamie Stegmeier who drew these comparisons and is in one of the official reviews of Tapestry. If you like picking up things from one board to fit it into your other player board for more points and more benefits and resources, you would definitely enjoy this game. So there's a lot of player board manipulation and how it works with your cards and how it works with a map, that sort of thing. There's a lot of variability when it comes to the civilization that you use. There are 16 in the game, so I think there's definitely a lot of replay value. This game has plenty of potential for players who love to do combos with player actions. So in this game, there are 4 player action tracks that get better and better the more actions you do on each track. But of course, as you do that, the actions become more and more expensive. So there's also a very strong resource management component since there are 4 different resources in the game that would trigger 4 different types of actions. There's a lot of variability thanks to the various elements of the game that would change through different games, like Tapestry cards and Civilization cards. These cards make certain conditions stronger for you, and sometimes they even limit your opponent. There is some level of confrontation in the game, since you could technically invade hexes on the board where other people are already. And the game does reward you for toppling opponent outposts, which is how you gain some control of the areas in the game. So there is some subtle area control component, but it is not really, for the most part, a direct conflict game. It really is about maximizing turns and maximizing resources, making sure that the way you spend your resources on this track is better than the results that you could get on the other track. Earlier, I said that it was somewhat similar to Feast for Odin, because there's a lot of getting buildings from the board and then trying to block out areas on your player board. So there, you do have that filling out / bingo-like atmosphere going on. And it's really fun, because when you block out a specific area of your board, you would get some benefit that would help you prolong your round and prolong your turn. As with all Stonemeyer games, the components of Tapestry are quite top-notch. It comes with a very nice set of income buildings and player boards. Even the rulebook feels nice. However, the rulebook isn't really the best, so we find ourselves Googling and Board Game Geek and looking at the forums what the specific interpretations of the interplay between Tapestry and Civilization cards are. Since there are a lot of cards, and a lot of actions and a lot of civilizations, sometimes it is not clear how each effect would play with each other. So it's really important for us to look things up online, ask our other friends who've played with it. But other than that, it is really a really solid gaming experience. This game is best for people who love to experiment with combos and is okay with the randomness of the Tapestry cards and the other technology cards. you'd have to mitigate a lot of risk in the game since you may not get the most optimal card all the time. I highly recommend Tapestry to anyone who loves Euros. I may be biased here, but I think this may end up being the best ever from Stonemaier Games. If you can get this, then you definitely should. I think this is already destined to become a modern classic. So that's me, and with my initial thoughts for Tapestry, I hope that you listen to us here in Gaming Live again in the future. Thank you very much.
You've unlocked the door and exited the game, but is the next level version just more of the same? It's good to try out new things, you won't be sorry. Check out the Adventure Games line, discover the story. Is it a better escape room in a box? We'll let you know what we think. But now let's open up this game, Monochrome Inc. Who knows what it holds, but anything goes. If the box is familiar, it's because it's designed by Cosmos. Inside you find two booklets, that's instructions and text, and a pack of cards split into three types is what's next. A bigger bunch of cards represents the places. Then you make some meeples, that's four brand new faces. Who are they, you ask? As solo mode, you can play any two, or use all four if three friends play with you. Corporate raiders you are. There's an artist, a hacker. For the guys, there's a burglar and a shoe thigh master. The roles are important, so be wise with your choice. You read aloud to your friends too. Maybe roleplay your voice? The secrets of Monochrome Inc. are what you're hired to discover. Objectives are given as you go undercover. So the game uses cards. There's items to trade. The floor levels are explored on the card mats you've laid. The elevator aspect, well, kind of cheesy, but one aspect is clear. The people placement is important. You can't trade if no one's near. Interesting things you spot will make you refer to the book. There's some hidden clues if you carefully look. There's actually life points of sorts, so you can get harmed. Be careful with yourself and don't trip the alarm. There's three chapters to play. Each takes an hour and a half. The save game feature is included. Too clever by half. A turn is just trading, moving, do an action and trade yet again. Discussing your plans will help the next turn for your friend. Now a plus on this game is the experience for sure. Sierra, LucasArts, are these names familiar? They're point-and-click computer games like Maniac Mansion or King's Quest. At that time, they're the hotness. Totally the best. These game mechanics are just like it. Pick up item, then use. It's really more point-and-click, not adventures you choose. Because some say it's like the choose-your-own-adventure books, or so I'm told. But with turning of pages plus item use, it's like nostalgia overload. Now, the multiple characters, they add a bit of replay. There's several endings too, for the completists, I say. If you're not stressed on the time factor, then that part is really good. And if you're stuck, use the hints. It's just a question if you should. One thing to mention, well, it's a personal draw, is including a special snowflake that makes me go, aww. Now the game isn't perfect, there's cons to be had. The helper app isn't online until November, so that's kind of sad. The save game feature is nice, but it's still taking pics of your layout. But they included a plastic bag or so, which is what they're about. The point system is detailed, so you can tally your score, but adding up everything is kind of a bore. A disappointing part is the story, for which I will pout. This one is still an escape room. You just go in, then go out. I expected more intrigue, more betrayal, maybe romance. But there's subplots for the future, so for that, there's still a good chance. Wrapping this up, I'd say, for the adventure game line, it's a start. So the system will evolve to give it some more story heart. On personal play, it was engaging. The reveal moments, the eurekas, the fear! It's hilarious when we kept using the scalpel on everything near. There were really some tense moments when we were really caught off guard. But it's more stimulation than a brain challenge, so it's not quite that hard. It's a new experience, so just enjoy it and let us know what you think when you pick up your very own copy of Monochrome Inc.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed the segments of our contributors. Last week, we talked about Splendor Killers.
Last month.
It feels like a week. Masyado mabilis yung araw.
There's so many games, so little time.
Yep. So last month, we talked about Splendor Killers. Well, not really killers. Okay, let's clarify that first. These aren't killers, right?
More like alternatives.
Alternatives, yeah. Yes. So, lalo na for me, buhay na buhay pa rin ang Splendor. Mm-hmm. So, lahat ng diniscuss natin last month, hindi pa nila pinapatay si Splendor.
Oh, yeah.
Splendor is still alive.
No one has ever been able to kill Splendor or replace Splendor. But this week, or this month, we are going to be trying to talk about alternatives to pandemic.
Yes, alternatives right? to pandemic.
For a lot of people, pandemic is medyo gasgas na. And mm-hmm. we may have figured out how to beat the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and actually, pandemic kasi medyo ano siya eh, standard siya, gold standard siya of cooperative yeah. games. Would you agree?
I agree, yeah. Matt Laycock knows how to make a cooperative game.
Yep. Ako actually, if we talk about pandemic-based game, for me, an alternative is Pandemic Iberia.
Okay, with that carries the same name.
Yes, yeah. Carries the same name, but in my opinion, is cleaner.
Yep.
I like the theme more. And also, you don't need the On the Brink expansion.
Yeah, it's just right there.
Yep.
All in the red box, right?
Yes.
All in the red box.
You can actually play it with 5 players out of the box.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So, that's one. It can be an honorable mention. But let's get on with the list of games that could actually be an alternative to Pandemic. And let's start with Flashpoint, Fire Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a rather older game. And I think it was made by Indie Boards and Cards.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. The title says it all, Flashpoint Fire Rescue. You're essentially firemen and you're trying to save people from a burning building. And you're trying to manage between, you know, killing fires, rescuing people, bringing them out of the burning building. And there's so much to it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of good things about this game.
Yeah.
I have not personally played it. It's been in my shelf of shame for like years now.
No.
But I plan to play it this Saturday. So
there you go. Hopefully you do.
Hopefully.
Flashpoint Fire Rescue, ladies and gentlemen. There's even like an ambulance that drives around the house.
Oh yes.
And then
yes.
Again, it's one of those games wherein there's still an alpha issue because, you know, of it coming from that age of gaming.
Yep.
But it actually feels a little less evident because of how the fire works. And it's so thematic.
Mm.
Oh, I wanna...
So would you say that this curbs the alpha gamer syndrome more than Pandemic?
A little bit, I think. Whenever I played it, that's my experience. And after playing Flashpoint for like a few times, I'm like, I'm installing a slidey pole in my house because of how much I love
the game. You can use that.
It's never happened.
For dancing too.
Sure, but it's never happened. Moving on, let's talk about another game that's an oldie but goodie that could replace Pandemic or you could play in lieu of Pandemic if you're looking for a cooperative kick, and that is Shadows over Camelot.
Okay. Di ba Shadows over Camelot medyo semi-cooperative?
Mostly it is cooperative because you, as it is, the story of the game is you're all knights of the round table
mm-hmm.
serving King Arthur, but one of y'all could be evil.
Okay.
So again, it's just different enough from Pandemic, so that it scratches the itch, but it's different.
Mm-hmm. This is an older game, though.
Yes, it is.
And quite difficult to find now.
Yeah, but
especially here in the Philippines.
Yeah, but a lot of old gamers still have it.
Yep.
Because of how good it is, and that box is so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
That box is so iconic. And again, this is how a lot of gamers got into the hobby because of Will Wheaton's Tabletop.
Ah,
it's that episode that a lot of people like, uy, ang ganda ng series na to, ang ganda ng gaming pala ulit.
Yep.
So that's Shadows over Camelot.
Okay, the next game is Zombicide. So for me, ito talaga yung number one pick ko if you want an alternative to Pandemic and you like cooperative games.
Even a level up, di ba?
Yes.
Because
medyo up yung complexity.
Yeah, up yung complexity, up yung weight,
mm-hmm.
up yung game time.
Yep. And this is actually, if you've played the video game Left 4 Dead,
it's basically a board game.
Yes, this is Left 4 Dead, the board game. And sobrang thematic niya when you're just running away from a horde of zombies that materialized on the board. And alpha gamer din, hindi, medyo na-curb niya for me.
Yeah.
Because you can't just tell you can't just tell someone, do this, mm-hmm. when their life's at stake.
Yeah.
It's not just whether, it's kasi in pandemic, yung alpha gamer mo, whether you're efficient in your move or not. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's it. Yeah.
But here, if I do this, I can get bitten by those zombies.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's cool about Zombicide for me is, again, you're a little lower, you're less reliant on the efficiency.
Yep.
It's less about how fast can I get there or how much can I get rid of on the board. It's more of, this feels real and
yep.
I'm scared.
Yep.
And you can, again, in pandemic, if you're playing medyo patapon or kalat, it's very evident and people are just going to get angry at you. But in Zombicide, if you're playing kalat, you're just playing a character from a series like The Walking Dead because those players exist.
Yep.
And it's a fun way to go about it. I've played games of Zombicide that are like that.
Yep.
And people are like, all right, bahala ka.
Bahala ka, mamatay ka.
I'm just going to pick up your weapons, dude. I don't care. So that's Zombicide.
Yep. The next game is, this is a bit different naman, Magic Maze. Magic Maze is a real-time cooperative game. So
wherein you're not allowed to
You're
speak.
Not allowed to speak. So you're basically a group of people, kids ba? Or animals. No, animals. You're a group of animals trying to escape the mall.
No, your adventures, your RPG characters.
Not necessarily. You're a group of creatures trying to escape a maze.
Yeah. A fantasy mall.
A fantasy mall. So, and the thing is, you can only, your character, well, your player can only move either up, down, side, side.
Yeah, yeah. And the only thing that your allies know is that you can do these things.
Yep.
But you can't tell them how to do it.
Yep. So, there's actually a red pawn that if I put it in front of you, it means you move something.
Yeah.
You move something. Yep. And you're there, ano gagalawin ko? Hindi ko makita.
That's your communication tool.
Yep. So the most that an alpha gamer can do is pressure you into moving something because feeling nila yun lang yung tamang move.
Yep.
Right?
And they can do their best to communicate with their own moves, but that's not even 100% sure.
Yep.
And that's what's lovely about Magic Maze. Again, if you're looking for a different sensory experience or a different vibe. Tapos sawa na kayo sa alpha gamer syndrome. This is it.
And also, if you are into real-time cooperative games.
Oh, yeah. This is real-time.
Yes, that's real-time.
Yeah.
Pandemic Rapid Response just arrived at Gaming Library. So, if you're a fan of real-time cooperative games, then you can also check out Pandemic Rapid Response.
One of those is mine, all right? Last but not least in this list of alternatives for Pandemic is, this is weird because, Matt Laycock is cannibalizing his own list. It's a Forbidden series. These are Matt Laycock designed games and there's a bunch of them out right now. But off the top, it's Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert.
Forbidden Sky. Yeah.
You know, no?
Yeah.
Okay, so far.
Yeah.
So far. And I'm pretty sure there's more coming in. As long as Matt Laycock breathes, he's going to design games that are just cooperatively sound. And these games come in metal tins and they're essentially...
Not Forbidden Sky. Forbidden Sky came in a box.
Actual box.
Yeah, actual box.
So we see some change here. But essentially, the Forbidden series of games are maybe 3/4 the weight of a Pandemic game, the way they're designed. And they play in maybe 3/4 the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would say Forbidden Island is 1/2.
There you go. See, it varies.
It's simpler pa.
It varies. But they essentially all carry the same kind of vibe, wherein you're in this semi-fantasy, kind of adventure booky setting. And depending on which game it is, you're trying to either escape a sinking island, rebuild a skyship.
Mm-hmm.
And, which of these Forbidden series games is your favorite?
I think it's Forbidden Desert.
Ooh.
I think nandun siya sa middle na sweet spot siya na... It's not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that complex. And if I want something more complex, I'll just play Pandemic.
All right.
Yeah. I love the components of Forbidden Desert.
Yeah, well, they're all very good. Even Island has pretty components. And I myself love Island so much. Because I like how it's rather light, to be honest.
Yes.
Even kids can play it.
Yes.
Kids like aged 8 or 9, you tell them how to do it. At some point, you don't even have to be alpha anymore. Because they get what they're trying to do.
But funny thing is, it's actually good to teach kids at such a young age of cooperative games.
With cooperative games. Yep.
So side note, I was in a planning seminar where I taught a cooperative game to my office mates.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't get the concept of helping each other.
It was so alien.
Yeah, so hindi nila maintindihan okay, so yung concept na yun.
How to beat you?
Yep.
where do I put this so you're dead?
Yeah. But if you're young and your dad teaches you Forbidden Island, then, di ba?
Yeah, you're gonna grow up fine. You're gonna grow up like, oh, so we help each other. So I have to fight you? What? You have to pay me when you land here? So, again, Forbidden series, there's Forbidden Island, Desert, and Skies. Mm-hmm. These are nice alternatives to Pandemic. Alongside the other games that we mentioned, hopefully this little discussion here has been of help to you guys, especially now that, again, Pandemic Rapid Response just released. This might just put another kick or a shot in the arm of the cooperative genre.
Yep. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed our contributors and our little segment right here. Catch us again in 2 weeks for a roundtable discussion where you will get to know most, if not all, of the gaming library curators. And we talk about our gaming habits and also a game day recap.
Those folks are quite the cast. So hopefully you guys can listen to that as well.
Yep.
If you enjoyed this or if you have any reactions, comments, suggestions, do let us know. The comment section in our website is open. That's gaminglive.com as well. You can comment on the Facebook page for more, you know, interactions, or send us a message, right? And of course, don't forget to watch G Live every Tuesday night where we play games live for you guys from the Gaming Library headquarters.
So thanks again for listening. This is Glory.
And this is Leo. Y'all keep on gaming.